Marco Grajeda at Las KRWG, Las Cruces. Good morning to you.
Good morning. Good morning, Senator. Can you talk to me about the energy bill what will it include? I know this is going to be a compromise bill. Can you talk to me about what it will include in terms of offshore drilling, nuclear energy, all that stuff?
Well, let me say it's a very confused situation up here because we waited an awful long time to get involved with a very complicated subject. And I take no responsibility for that, to be honest. That's principally the responsibility of the majority leader, Harry Reid. I believe he's been toying around with this issue, and now we're approaching a deadline, and we have no consensus on what bill is going to be adopted or what bill is going to have substantial enough support to be adopted. So while I'm rather pleased personally that about 6 months ago, 5 months ago, I started the issue of offshore drilling by introducing a bill that said we should open up our offshores and let the states decide whether they wanted to come in. And if they wanted to come in, we would share with them the royalties. We thought that was a good approach to get started. That brought into existence maybe 2 months later, 3 months later, what was originally called a gang of 10, which had five Democrats and five Republicans. Senator Bingaman as chairman of the Committee on Energy and Natural Resources and myself as the ranking Republican. Neither of us was on this gang of 10. They produced their own bill kind of in quiet, and it's more than just an offshore bill. It has about five or six subjects, big subjects to it, including some changes in the nuclear power, a presentation for the future, and things like that. Senator Bingaman has not yet divulged his cards publicly as to what is going to be in his bill. The Republicans have put together under leadership of the minority leader and myself, we have put a bill together that we intend to offer that we think will open most of the offshore of the United States to drilling. We don't think we have enough votes either because it takes 60 votes at this point. A bill will have to be called up, an energy bill, and then we'll have to amend it. And when you have to amend it on the floor, it's all done in anticipation of a filibuster, which means that you got to get 60 votes. So we'll keep everybody posted. But all of the enthusiasm that was generated across the land by the people who have responded to what we pushed with a clamoring drill, 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 seems to me has a real chance of petering out and of us getting nothing but a long debate and a number of amendments and nothing to account for it. I'm very sorry about that. I've worked as hard as I can on a substitute bill. We will offer it. It will be a good bill, in my opinion, but I don't believe we can muster 60 votes for anything around here now. And if we can't, it's just saying to the people of New Mexico and the people of this country, we're not going to offer a large tract of American-owned property for our oil companies to be able to drill on for the next 25 or 30 years, knowing that there will always be some reserves that they can go look for and go drill for over that period of time. Thanks for the question. Glad to discuss it with you. Marco, now we'll go to John McPreen, unless Gillian Sutton has shown up. Are you there, KRSN? John McPreen, your turn.
Senator, there's been talk by presidential candidate McCain of eliminating, earmarks.
Yeah.
And in light of his proposal, how practical can you see that?
Well, look, I have never, I've never been an advocate of Congress not having any authority to appropriate for projects, programs, or activities that are not in the president's budget. The anti-earmark fever comes from two sources. One, the executive branch knows better than the legislative branch what we need, and as you probably suspect, John McBreen, I don't agree with that. I've put earmarks in for all of my time, starting about 6 years after I came here. I got pretty good at it, knowing what New Mexico needed and where we could find money. And we've had quite a few hundreds, scores of earmarks that I think have been very, very good. So I'm not an advocate that the executive knows better than Congress. It's also very hard to eliminate earmarks without vetoing the entire appropriation bill that they're found in. So I think there'll be big negotiations if our candidate wins the election, John McCain and his running mate, who seem to be doing quite well. If they win, I think there'll be big negotiations with the Congress as to what earmarking means, what it doesn't mean, and we'll end up with some resolution which will be based more upon making sure that everybody knows what an earmark is and that everybody has to put the earmark, put it forth in a way that it is totally visible, and that the sponsor of it is known, and anybody who wants to take it out can take it out, and there'll probably be some negotiations with the president-elect on how you will bring the earmarks up on the floor of the Senate so they can be extinguished, if that's the will of the president, and to see whether the Congress wants to accept the president's desire or not. After all, the Constitution doesn't say the President of the United States appropriates money, incidentally. The Constitution of the United States says the only one that can appropriate the money is the United States Congress. And that's the provision of the Constitution that we take the authority from. And I thank you for the question. Now, Tim from Rio Doso, I was just down there with you, Tim, or in your part of the country not too long ago, and I'm glad to be with you here in Washington. How are you?
Doing fine, and thanks for coming around to see us this time, Senator. I was hoping that you might handicap the presidential race a little bit, and do you think that the choice of the governor of Alaska was a good choice for your party?
I think the choice of the governor from Alaska was a great choice, not just a good choice, a great choice. I think the fact that the opposition, that the Democrats are scurrying around trying to find something a negative against her, and I'm not saying that Barack Obama is, but Democrats are, and I think they ought to relax a little bit and just take her record and argue on her record. It's pretty obvious that the public can take a look at her, can listen to her, can listen to her record, and can make a decision for themselves as to whether she's qualified or not. And it seems to me that the people are saying in rather large numbers that they favor what the candidate that John McCain chose as his running mate. She is energizing the Republican Party, and as a matter of fact, I think I could say that as of today, handicapping New Mexico's race, that there is a better than a possibility that the McCain Palin ticket will win in New Mexico. That's kind of shocking to people, but that's what most polls are showing right now, that it's just a couple of points spread. But, you know, that's a lot better than it was a month ago. And what's happened in the meantime, the only thing I know that's happened is we got a running mate for the experienced politician. We got a young, vibrant running mate who apparently catches on to matters political quickly and knows how to handle herself quite well. I myself was at the convention, Tim. I was absolutely amazed at the vibrancy and the terrific ability to captivate an audience that young woman has, that 40-plus-year-old woman, mother of five, had. There are all kinds of things going on trying to establish that Governor Palin is not qualified, but I think to this point they've been false alarms, and that they have been They've been shots across the bow, which have no carry no ammunition with them. They're just making a lot of racket thus far, and she continues to bring the not just Republicans. People want to limit it to Republicans. She's bringing an awful lot of other people to the Republican ticket with their full senses and full abilities on, focused on it. They just think that the ticket is a good ticket and better than the other one, and that's fine with me. I'm very pleased that Senator McCain did that. Thanks for the question. I don't know if that's handicapping, but it's what Pete Domenici has to say about it anyway, right? Tim, is that okay?
That's fine. If I could follow up, what is the best experience that you know of to be a VP or a presidential candidate?
Well, looks to me like participating in matters political for us for a period of time is one criteria. For some people, it means you've got to have an awful lot of time. For others, you'd have to have some time. And then participation in decision-making when there's really a pressure one way or another and you have to make decisions. She's had some of both of those. I was a mayor of Albuquerque, and I tell you, it does train you very well. Granted, it was a bigger city than she was, than she's mayor of, but she had an awful lot of decision-making for that small town. And then, obviously, when she got to be governor and when she served as commissioner of energy in her state, those were all decision-making positions. And everybody that notices her and watches her and the reproductions of how she reacted and what she did just prove that she's pretty quick. She's pretty quick-witted, pretty quick with her decision-making, and pretty able to stand on her two feet and argue for her viewpoint. I think she's going to be tremendously well-trained by the time this election is over with, and she'll be an excellent vice president, and I'm very proud of her. Thank you. Now let me go to Marco down in Las Cruces. Marco?
Yeah, thanks, Senator.
I can't hear you. Put it up a little louder.
Oh, sorry. Can you hear me fine?
It's got it.
Yeah, good. Senator, can you talk to me about the $400 million that are short in the construction, or what appear to be short in the construction of the border fence? And obviously, President Bush asking for money being set aside for surveillance projects to be used in the construction of the border fence. Has that been discussed at all in Congress by the Senate?
Well, I haven't been a party to discussing it in my committee work. And my staff is looking here to see if it's come to me. It would be in the Homeland Security Appropriation Bill. My staff is not in concurrence of that, but we don't have any anything indicating how the committee's going to handle it. Is that what you gather, and where did you get that from, Marco?
When I gathered this information.
I can't hear you.
I gathered this information earlier. I can't say exactly where I got it.
Yeah.
But what is your opinion on this new $400 million needed in the construction?
Well, I believe we made a commitment, and if we started it, we ought to finish it. The first thing that everybody has agreed, and I'm quite surprised, Democrat and Republican have agreed that instead of trying to do many things at the same time, that we ought to do one thing, and that is we ought to close the border. Now, when I mean close the border, I mean control the border. Be able to say people will get in here and they won't get in, and know where the checkpoints are, and have built a system which permits the United States, acting through its agents, to say yes or no to entrance into the United States, and to know when people are put out of the United States, they're not just coming, turning around, and coming right back in. That's what's made the people of our country most angry about it, the immigration rules, is that we do not enforce them because we don't have the capacity to enforce an open border, at least a border as open as that one. And we're trying to close it and then say, now we're ready for the next step and the big debate, what do we do now that we can control the border? So if the $400 million is needed to be able to say we have control of the border, then that's what we ought to appropriate and get on with it.
All right. Thanks a lot.
Thank you very much. Let's see. We're going to go to John McBreen.
Senator, I've been hearing reports that you and Senator Bingaman were considering putting the Navajo Gallup water project authorization in the omnibus bill, and how true is that?
Well, I don't believe it's true. I'm working on a lot of things, but I don't have that in the back of my mind that we're trying to. We're working pretty hard trying to find a way to get this these Indian water settlements that we have left over, Amont, the Navajo Indian ones. But we still need offsets. That's what's holding it up. They cost money, even though it's not a lot of money. Clearly, you have to have it before you can get the bills through. And we've not been able to find the money to apply. And it's too bad not only are our Navajo bills in that position, but some other big bills that we have, we can't find offset money. The administration is opposed to the Navajo bill. They don't like the cost. I think that's OMB, the Office of Management and Budget. I challenged them before the committee to find out whether that was true, and they didn't deny it, that it was really an Office of Management and Budget position where they said no. That's too bad because they are the final decision makers frequently, and they just don't know what they're talking about on the Navajo settlement. They don't know what they're talking about on the Amont settlement. Those ought to get done now. The federal government ought to find the money and get them done. I'm very sorry that that's going to be hanging over. I'm quite worried if it isn't done. No aspersions on anyone, but there's so many things that other senators and congressmen will have to be doing that it may be another real long period of time, a lapse of time, before we get it done with new people up here. Sorry about that.
Very quickly, what's the chances with the calendar leaning towards adjourning, early next month for that big event on November the 4th? Can you see any chance at all that the majority leader would put it on the calendar for a vote?
I think it's very slim. I think what we're trying to do is we're not trying to push him to do that. We're trying to find a way to get it done so that we can say it's finished, and then he'll take it. If it's not finished, to go to the floor and debate it, and he won't do that, I'm sure. Thank you for the question, John McBreen.
Thank you, Senator.
Yes, sir. John, I guess we'll be, and the rest of you, will be on this program a few more times before we say goodbye, right?
I hope you are.
Yeah, we don't usually have a good way to say goodbye here in the Senate. Nobody knows how to do that. But we'll find out a way to do it here on our little radio show. We'll invite everybody that's ever set a peep on this show to come on one day and say, everybody, get your voices together here. We're going to have a going away party for Domenici. You won't have to be bothered by him anymore. Let's see. Do we have somebody down here you want me to catch? Tim, are you there?
Yeah, you're never a bother, and you're the only politician that I know of that regularly respects the media enough to talk to us every now and again.
Well, I hope so. Thank you so much. Are you going to talk to me now, Tim? You're next.
No, I'm good. Have a good day. Thank you, Senator. Yeah.
Let me ask, how are the repairs and all that coming there?
It's going well. I believe they're starting the Eagle Street Bridge this week. So, uh-huh. And we got some good weather, so it looks like I had dinner with the Mayor Nunley on Saturday night, and he indicated that things are going well.
Good. Well, give him my regards if you hear from him before me, huh?
I think you're going to hear from him. He's headed to Washington, I think, today.
Oh, good. Yeah, I think he's going to see me on Wednesday. That's what Chris says. I don't know what he's coming up here for. We got no money. You're reading about us. We're broke.
Well, he wants money. There's no doubt about that.
Boy, I'm telling you. You wake up this morning, reading about all these big banks. I thought maybe y'all were going to ask me what to do with your money. I was going to hide.
You go to the horse races with it.
Go to hide under the table and say, do your best. Domenici has no advice. If you got any stock in Lehman Brothers, you're broke. But other than that, I don't know. All right. Did we have anybody left over? Larry, you were just listening. Marco, do you have one?
Well, just a really quick one, Senator.
Sure.
Does your energy bill that you're going to propose, does it include an investment in renewable energy? Or are these tax credits that Senator Bingaman is obviously pushing?
No. The offshore bill that we're talking about does not have any tax credits for renewable energy. It's on a completely different front and leaves those for another day. It's trying very hard to address the issue of the price of gasoline by creating a large new reservoir for a reserve, should I say, of American-owned oil, and to say to the world, look, we can be drilling for 20 or 30 years here on our own in our own backyard. So we're predominantly aimed at that. I don't know what else is going to be. I haven't seen Senator Bingaman's bill. Do you have a press release saying that he's going to put something in on renewables?
Well, I talked to him last weekend, and I mean, obviously that's, you know, that's one of his main push. I don't know if he's actually going to be putting that in his bill or not, but you know, obviously he was going to be pushing for the tax credits to be extended.
Okay. Well, he told me he's going to let me see his bill today.
Okay.
So we'll find out. How about the rest of you? Have a good day. Have a good week. It's great talking to you. Well, I guess we'll be another 2 weeks before we go home, 10 days like that, and I'll be down there. I'm not sure I'll be seeing any of you, but I'll be somewhere in the great state of New Mexico. Goodbye.
Thank you, Senator.
Thank you.